Greetings, this is James Gillen with As You Wish Talk Radio, broadcasting live from the East Eddy Ranch, otherwise known as UFO and Paranormal Central. We have a great guest tonight, and I want to get right to it. I don't want to waste any time whatsoever, and welcome Dr. Ludwig to the show. Michal, are you with us?
Yes, James, I'm here and delighted to be back with you.
Now, for those that don't know who Michal is, and I don't know who Michal is. But,
sometimes I'm wondering myself.
I think we touched the hem of your garment, basically, but,
caused the rip?
Yeah, he's been a Catholic priest and a professor of theology and college president for over 25 years in Ireland, and you were an advisor to the Pope on What the Bleep and Down the Rabbit Hole, and I can go on and on and on. You've got some awesome videos out there, which I've watched all of them, that actually filled in all the things that I knew of, but I didn't have the details. I just had a gut feeling that something's wrong with this picture, and I knew inside that it wasn't correct, and you definitely filled in the details, which...
Oh, good.
Yeah, it was the deep deceptions, the videos, and how Jesus became the Christ, which, to me, just was right on, you know, about how all the challenges and tests that he went through and all the travels that he did, and it brings a real unifying message to humanity rather than one that separates and divides into, you know, religions and the Me Mind program, my God, my Messiah, and nobody else is correct program.
Right, yes.
And then you've also been on the endeavor with the Orbs. You know, you've got the Orbs movie out, Clues to a More Exciting Universe, and the Orb Project.
Yes, they were both produced last year. The DVD on Orbs, Clues to a More Exciting Universe, came out in February or March, and the book was published by Simon & Schuster and Beyond Words the end of November last. I think it was today. This, by chance, is the anniversary.
Yeah. Oh, good timing.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know what I'd really like to get into tonight, and I have kind of a personal interest in this because some of my relatives are young, you know, and they're kind of going off into a different direction, you might say, and one of them is becoming very fundamentalist. And, you know, I had a talk with her, and I tried to explain to her, you know, you need to really get clear on who you're putting your attention to and what your image of God is and where you got it.
Right.
And I thought, you know, I couldn't think of a better guest than you to help bring some clarity to this whole misperception that we seem to be running on the earth, you know, on a mass scale right now.
Yeah, that obviously the recent tragedies in Mumbai in India, you know, shows you how far fundamentalism of one kind or another can really take you.
Mm-hmm.
And, while we've all had terrorism, even, say, in my own country, in Ireland, and we've had it in the Lebanon, we've had it here, there, everywhere, but they were all confined to certain areas. And now, for the first time, we have, you know, terrorism on a sort of global scale or approaching it, and it's all due to fundamentalism.
Mm-hmm.
An idea that, you know, that you have all the answers and that there's no one else has any truth at all, and, you know, you owe it to your God to sort of wipe them out. That's a very, very dangerous tendency in any religion.
Yeah, I've seen people that, as kids, we take photographs of these kids, and they come in innocent, and they have this beautiful golden light around their heads, and, they start getting involved. Next you know, they meet somebody, you know, and they marry somebody within the church, and it just goes on and on. And to be accepted, the next thing you know, they lose that innocence, and they're right out there with the rest of them, you know, saying, mm-hmm. you know, death to whoever, you know. So.
Oh yeah, I know.
It's very sad watching that, and I think the only thing that will counteract that basically is to bring out the real teachings and the real history of what really happened in the past.
Right, you know, facts are never a mistake, really. It's no harm to have a few facts sometimes. And, especially the facts about Jesus, because there's two great tragedies, in my humble opinion, about Jesus. One is that his message was completely turned on its head. Mm-hmm. That's the first thing. And the next tragedy, more recent, is that those who most fervently claim to be following him are the ones that actually have the message worst of all. And and furthermore, you know, they find themselves in the rather curious situation of ending up preaching and practicing hatred and intolerance in the name of the God of love.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's quite a contradiction there.
Yeah, I just haven't been able to wrap my head around, you know, a holy war or you know, they, you know, all the great masters talk about God as love, but when you see it practiced in a religion, it turns into, you know, a God of retribution and domination and death and destruction.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, the Jewish faith and the Christian faith, in their turn, many centuries ago, exercised, you know, their right to choose between which texts they would accept.
Mm-hmm.
And when you look back at the panoply of really despicable things that are said to have been done by God, I mean, I was saying to someone recently, not alone would those things that you're supposed to have done, you know, qualify you for the title of divinity, they would actually have you ending up before a war crimes tribunal today. So, you know, maybe it's time that they, you know, reactivated their prerogative and narrowed the focus of what would be accepted as a proper picture of God. It was done before, many
mm-hmm.
times.
Yeah, I tried to explain that to her. I said, you know, I said, do you ever just put the God that you're reading about up against, you know, let's say my dad? You know, my dad was like a walking Buddha, beautiful man, you know, very loving, very centered. He was always there for us.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, let's take this God of old and just measure him against my father,
mm-hmm.
you know, and let's see how he measures up. And, you know, he doesn't do too well.
Oh, no, not in me. That's a great tragedy. When you look at many of those classical texts, you know, that everyone knows about the book of Joshua and so forth, and see
mm-hmm.
those things that God is supposed to have done, you know, it's a
yeah.
horrific list. So it either wasn't God, or God's very different from what we've heard.
You know, exactly. What I've seen is that, you know, my first understanding when I read the Bible, I said, you know, I thought about it. I said, well, these are really primitive men, and they're doing the best they can
yeah.
with what they experience. And with the symbols and the understandings that they have at the time and the reference points, they're doing the best they can, and they're always altering the message to validate their desires or their goals or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And that was my first impression of it, that, you know, this just can't be right, and I'm going to try to live according to what Jesus taught, which is, you know, brother, sister, love, and focus on the God of love and shift into service.
Yes.
And that was my main focus. And then later on, really delving into this, I found out there's a history. And a lot of these events did happen, and it wasn't really the God that we think that was behind these events. It was some beings that came here with superior technology that were, you might say, warriors and tyrants and very judgmental and very vindictive and had no problem practicing genocide.
No, and wanted to be worshipped.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the worst qualification, if you would put it that way, for disqualified God would be to want to be worshipped. I mean, what real God would need worship of a creature? That's
mm-hmm.
a sign of basic insecurity and instability, to want worship. And it's also, of course, the most stultifying attribute that we could practice, because if we're here for any real purpose on this earth, as your conferences have discussed many times down in Trout Lake, if we're here for any particular purpose, it's for making a very profound personal transformation in every one of us, which is what the whole message of Jesus is about. But once you start to worship, I mean, you have, in the classical sense, put your power outside of yourself definitively.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's bad enough to give your power to person A or person B or person C, but to give your power away to this figure who is masquerading as God in your mind, but it actually is not God, then you're really doomed, because there's no come back from that. It's not a small mistake, is what I'm saying. It's
mm-hmm.
a major, major blunder.
It's like a leaky battery. Everybody's leaking, and all their energies are going out to their lovers and their gods, and very few people are going within to where the real power is, which is the temple within or the god within.
Right. There was an old story that just popped into my mind from Ireland in the 50s, in my childhood, and some American visitor was there with a huge Cadillac. He pulled up to a gas station, and he said to the little boy who was manning the pumps, "Fill her up." And after a few minutes, the boy came up and he said, "Mister, would you turn off the engine? She's gaining on me." And that's the way, you know, we try to build up our power and our ability, but through all of those fears and guilt mechanisms that have, put their claws into us, we're actually losing ground rather than gaining it. You know, everything we build up is being lost, and more than lost. It's the myth of Sisyphus, you know, for every two steps forward, there's three backwards.
Well, like what Jesus said, be still and know you're God's, you know. So we don't know how to be still. We're just, you know, constantly babbling and doing. I always say we're not human beings, we're human doing.
Yes.
We don't know how to be human beings.
Yes.
If we did, you know, stop and just learn to be and get out in nature a little more and focus on your true nature, which is this totally loving, joyous, blissful God being that resides within everybody, that we wouldn't be having all the problems that we have today.
No, I mean, I suppose if you had the time and the ability, you could look at all the problems that beset this world today. And I think if you analyze them down to their heart's core, it's all about insecurity and powerlessness. And that, of course, generates colossal fear. And there's no way that we can have love or security unless we have power. Because what's the point? You know, you're just going to get trampled on in the dust. I think when I was down at your conference last July, I referred to the fact that some of the great saints in the Christian tradition, you know, felt that they thank God that they were found worthy to suffer for Christ. And this sort of, you know, subtle masochism working there. I mean, Jesus didn't ask us to suffer for him. Jesus asked us to be able to manifest what it is we want in our daily lives and taught us how to do it. But, you know, we have totally emasculated ourselves and we've become powerless beings who are, you know, are walked on by everybody, and we give thanks to God that we're found worthy to suffer when it happens. I mean, what's gone wrong here? You know, the whole thing is on its head, as I said. Especially a good thing to remember now that we're coming up, you know, to Christmas, when the whole, obviously the date is a debatable thing, but at least it's the date we have chosen to celebrate some enormously great intervention in the history of mankind. It's worthy of celebration. But, you know, we should remember what it is we're actually celebrating. Certainly wasn't about, you know, coming here to suffer and die for my sins, and we imitate that and try to make up what was lacking in his sufferings by suffering ourselves. I mean, this is bizarre. This is not what it was about or what Jesus was about.
I think I'm going to tell my daughter that story when she wants me to buy her a big fat Christmas gift.
What's that story?
It's all about suffering, not about receiving gifts.
Yeah, well, that's the way we've made it.
Reverse psychology on there.
Yeah, that's the way we have made it.
Yeah. It's quite interesting the way everything... I find out the more one becomes enlightened or the more one awakens, the more they realize that almost everything is turned upside down. and history is so screwed up. And it's just unbelievable that anybody could actually dig their way out of the hole that's been laid upon us. And
you can't.
It's not fixable. I just don't see.
No, you're not fixable. I know myself, for instance, as looking back on my own life, you know, if I had not gone into the roles that I did, if I didn't have the opportunity as an academic, you know, for all those endless years to be able to research all these things myself, I would be in exactly the same boat of people who are trying to pay the mortgage, get the children to school, and, you know, make ends meet. And no one ever has a chance to really assess the truth or the validity of what they're being told. It's like me, for instance, working with a computer. I mean, all I can do is do what I'm told and switch it on and hope it works. So, you know, and I have no ability or no interest, really, in going any further than that. But, you know, a lot of people are in that particular situation with much more important things than computers. Like, why are we here at all in this world? What's the purpose of our existence and our destiny, and what may I hope for after death? And, you know, it's all completely cockeyed in the way it's been generally presented. And that's a great tragedy, because basically it means that the work of Jesus has been basically lost to a large degree.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think your DVD brings back the real story, you know, and all the initiations that he went through and all the different countries he visited, and it kind of ties it all together. It ties humanity all together in a spiritual message versus a religious program, which unfortunately most religions take their prophets and condense it into a religion and then say this is it and everything else is false.
Right, you know, every great message that has ever appeared in the history of the human race, it seems to me, was hijacked by lesser people, you know, after the original figure was gone.
Mm-hmm.
And they always dubbed it down, you know, to a level that they could accept, and which was far, far indeed from what the original version was. That's happened, you know, not just in the case of Jesus, though that's the one that affects you and me most painfully,
mm-hmm.
but it's been done with every great figure that ever went before us. You know, you find that the whole message has been transmogrified into something, you know, like the lowest common denominator.
Mm-hmm.
And usually in a form that will give the greatest possible power to the ones that are administering the system.
Mm-hmm.
As the old saying goes, watch where the money goes, you know?
Yeah. That's exactly what I was going to get to. It seems like we have a great master up here, and he delivers a message, and it's always empowering. It talks about the God within everyone and everything, the empowering God, you know, the creator is omnipresent within all creation, and to be kind to each other and be kind to the planet. They have all these beautiful messages. And then these other groups see it, and they go, wow, that guy is powerful. How do I control it? And,
yeah,
and then they go, well, we'll just snuff him and take over his name and his image and his teachings and use them in our program to control and dominate and disempower.
I think, James, even that, you know, that undoubtedly is true. But also, you know, it's maybe sometimes not even intentional. That's all that they're able to get out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And then in all good faith, so to speak, that's the sort of system that they put out there with, of course, disastrous consequences for everybody else. So you have the ones who are opportunistic, and you are the ones who are in good faith. I remember one time in the Vatican, I sat in the study of the Pope, who was Pope at the time of Michelangelo, Pope Sixtus.
Mm-hmm.
His study is still there, in a relatively small room, and it was a beautiful sunny afternoon, which fortunately we had no work that day due to some accident or other. But, you know, I thought to myself, this is a man who, it was alleged by his enemies, spent more time on the battlefield in armor with a sword than in the chapel praying. But I said to myself, you know, which of the popes in all the 264 or 5 that there have been did more damage to the message of Jesus? Was it the warriors or the pious ones? And I have to conclude it was the pious ones who did far more damage to the message.
Yeah, it seems like that message, as all masters' messages, it seems like the only, you know, we're going into quantum physics now, and, you know, we're into the unified field theory where everything is connected, and, you know, those are the basic teachings of Jesus and every other master, and science seems to be taking us in that direction that, you know, basically we are one. What we do onto others, we do onto self, and what we do onto the world, we do onto ourselves as well, because there is no separation and omnipresence, and what we do on the world and others, we do onto God, you know? So,
yes.
So it's like the bottom line is that the solution is for all us to start being kind to each other and taking care of our environment as wise stewards and stop this me, mine, greed, separation game.
All of those plagues that are on us that you mentioned, like greed and competition and all that stuff. I mean, if we really realized the true nature of the universe that we're in, which that's something I went into a little bit on the Orb DVD last February. you know, if we really realize that we are actually living in a universe that's not just this physical one with heaven above it, which I call the hamburger universe mentality in that first DVD, which is so oppressive, you know, the way in which people think of God is so stultifying, because basically God, as I was saying in that DVD, is an old man in a cloud with a beard watching us, you know. That prevailing mindset is there in all the great religions of the West, Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. And it's done such enormous damage. We don't realize we're in a universe that has many layers, not just this physical one, and we take the image of God, who is at the source of all of it, you know, seven layers up. Mm-hmm. We take an image of God from the bottom layer that's farthest away from what God really is, and we exalt that as if God were an old man up there, you know, with a plan for me and watching everything I do every day and noting it down and waiting to punish or reward me at the end. Uh-huh. You know, if we even move into the next layer of existence to ourselves, infrared, like with the orbs and so on, you know, we see an entirely different form of life, an entirely different form of existence. It's not just, it's not inferior to us. On the contrary, it's superior. We go up from that to the realm of the light. We go up from that to the realm of the ultraviolet and then to X-ray and gamma and then up to the source where God is. I mean, we are so far away from what you and I would recognize as familiar objects at that stage that it's not even possible to express it in words. But that is where God is and who God is, and that is where we must start if we want to imagine how God is present in this world, or how God wants me or you or anyone else to fulfill their role of making known the unknown of the creation.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, once people have this little comfortable, dubbed down version of God, which is usually just an enlarged picture of themselves with the same faults and failings and virtues, the sooner we realize that, you know, we have to work with some images, but the sooner we realize that God isn't actually this kind, it's just that's the best picture we can hazard of him at this moment, then the better off the world will be.
Mm-hmm. I think there's over 11,000 religions and offshoots of that. And
yeah.
Because everybody had an experience.
I think I told you one time I was down in Cape Town a few years ago speaking at the Parliament for a Conference of World Religions, and even though I'm not easily shocked about things like this, I was shocked when I discovered that there were now over 20,000 versions of Christianity in the world, all signed up and official. And some of them, not just a few, but some of them believing they're the only true version.
I went to a conference in Canada where I spoke, and they actually invited me back this year. They let it go for a year, and they invited me back, and they had a lot of the bishops and cardinals and people from all the different religions there, and they put me on a panel with them, which I don't know if that was a real good idea.
Well, it depends on for whom it was a good idea.
Yeah.
Probably very good for you.
The nuns loved it, you know. But, you know, I told them they were talking about how their numbers are down 50%, sometimes 70%, and they're having to close churches, and they're trying to find out what the answer was, why this was happening. And I told them, I said, where's the love in your church? You know, it's not a mental construct or to keep, you know, forcing people and pushing fear and guilt and unworthiness. I said, where's the love?
Yeah,
and I said, maybe you should turn it over to the nuns. You know, and the nuns got all excited. You know, and bring in a little feminine energy in there and bring some love back into the churches and shift back into service. And then they asked me, well, do the ETs believe in God? You know what? And I said, well, it depends on which group. But the spiritually advanced ones see the Creator in all creation, and us as part of creation that needs a little help right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, they don't have the little old man in the beard image. They see a more universal God of just pure love and joy and bliss, and there's even things beyond that. But they just have a whole different concept, and they don't understand why we divide ourselves into beliefs and religions and fight over, you know, different images. And I said, that's so far beyond the reality that
Yeah, you know, I think I said in my own DVD that, you know, if you were an insect, presumably you would image God as an insect.
Mm-hmm.
If you were a fly, you would picture God as a fly. If you were a chimpanzee, your image of God would be a chimpanzee. You know, if we are humans, it's the odds are that we're going to picture God as some kind of exalted human. But, you know, we've never got the message. We've never realized that that's what we're doing.
Yeah, it seems like our image kind of came out of a sanitarium or something, like, because because the image that we're given of God, he breaks all of his own commandments. He says, "Don't thou shalt not kill," and then he says, "Oh, except for these guys, go lay them to waste." Yeah. And, you know, and he gives one village to one group, or one piece of land, and then he says, "Oh, no, you can go take that from them." And then he has people kill everybody in the village, including the children, and bash their heads out, you know, on the rocks and things like that. Just unbelievable genocidal, psychopathic behavior.
Well, you know, there's a lot of people that argue with me. I say to them, well, go and read the book of Judges and come back to me.
Yeah. And you know, basically, that image just seems to be in all of us.
Joshua, I should say. Sorry.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, it seems all of us have a little bit of that image in us that we think that we can righteously or in the name of God go and wipe out other cultures or other villages or other countries, you might say. And for some reason, God is on our side, but, you know, we forgot that we... You know, we always ask, you know, they always go, he, and I go, how do you know it's a he? You know, what created the he, and did the he have a mother, you know? And,
well, if there's seven planes of existence, which is in every high school physics textbook, if there's seven planes of existence, the only places where he and she, positive and negative, pertain is down here at the bottom.
Exactly.
You know, you leave this physical domain, you're straight away finished with he's and she's.
Yeah.
Well, why would it be seven planes up? Why would there be a he and a she?
Yeah, a lot of times you're finished with names, too, so you don't even have an identity, you know.
These are all only labels that, you know, names are only labels we communicate with. If there's instant communication, you don't need words, you don't need labels, you don't even need thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
Thoughts are sort of ethereal forms of words, and we try and get our thoughts together, and then we try to express them in words, and we hope the other person, you know, grasps some of it at least.
Yeah.
But this is a really primitive form of communication. And if you're in the upper realms of our existence, which we all are, as I was saying in that DVD again, you know, what the orbs tell us is that you and I are living in those other six dimensions right now as well as in this one, except they've all fallen asleep. But if you and I are up activating those other centers in us, well, then we get into realms where words are not needed, and thoughts are, you know, communicated instantly, and the states behind the thoughts are communicated instantly.
Yeah, I got into a discussion with a scientist, and, you know, he says, I want facts, I want numbers, and I want this and that, and he just kept going and going, and I said, so you want proof of a non-physical event in your physical reality.
In physical terms.
Yeah, in physical terms. And I told him, I said, we can measure less than 1% of the universe that we live in, and you want me to take the 99%, break it down, and give it to you in this little 1% book. And I can't go there. It was quite an interesting discussion. And when the intellect failed, you know, the slander followed.
But that's what always happens when the intellect fails and the reasons are not to be found. Then they turn to personal abuse.
Exactly.
That's a sure sign that you've stopped thinking. You know, I mean, I remember one time in an argument with me, some other professor was saying, it's axiomatic, it's axiomatic. And I said eventually to him, by that, I presume you mean you can't think of a single reason in its favor. So,
yeah,
that's what you're up against. But, you know, it's like when you're dealing with the vastness of this physical universe, and then realize that there's infinitely greater than that outside and beyond it. I mean, words are very inadequate, and this is really the realms we're in when we're speaking of God and our relationship to God. So it's really very hard to use the terms. And like you said with your experience with the scientists, you know, they want to have reasons, and they cannot appreciate the reasons until they've already committed.
Uh-huh.
I often say to people that you say, I will believe if I can see. But, you know, in these realms, you cannot see until you already believe. In other words, you already commit, and then see if it works for you and makes sense for you. Because I said, if if you want to see before you believe, it's like jumping across a chasm in two phases. You cannot stop halfway to check how you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to commit and go with it and then see what you see from the other side. And it's the same. I mean, all of the great scientific insights, even from Einstein and Bohr and Heisenberg and all those people, you know, they didn't really get to the great insights that they made about relativity and photoelectric effect and quantum mechanics and all that. They didn't get to it by deductive reasoning. They got to it by insight.
Mm-hmm.
And they worked out as best they could subsequently, you know, the sort of rational justification of it.
Mm-hmm.
But they didn't arrive at it by adding up numbers.
Well, you know, I've worked and dealt with some of the top minds on the planet right now. They're just brilliant and have several degrees, and almost all of them say you can't learn science; it comes to you.
Yeah.
And they said you can learn, you know, some of the basics and things, but to really get past the recycled ignorance that we call science often, you've got to go within, and it comes to you through dreams and through insights and through, you know, meditations. And they'll all tell you this. All of the great minds have the same message. They said, I didn't get this out of a book. This came to me from a whole different source.
Right. Yeah.
If we spend a little more time, you know, going to the big book within, you know,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
we can turn this planet around.
Yeah.
Now, there's a few other things. Now, I noticed that all the great scientists right now are coming to the realization that you don't see with your eyes. You actually see with your brain, and I believe what is your eyes are bringing in billions of bits of information, and your brain chooses how much of that information it chooses to be, you know, your reality.
Yeah. That's true. I mean, a good example of it is the orbs. I think I had that in the DVD as well, that, you know, the brain is getting a lot of information presented to it,
mm-hmm.
From your eyes. So your eyes are actually doing the seeing. You couldn't see without them, at least in a normal state. But obviously the brain couldn't handle all that information, so it has to make a choice.
Mm-hmm.
And the choice is going to be determined by what's the priority for me. You know, I was saying to someone on the phone today earlier, you know, people, he said to me, I never get what I want. You know, all these self-help programs. I was doing a seminar down in Pennsylvania there recently on how all those self-improvement techniques we've heard so much about, like the law of attraction and positive thinking, etc., why they all don't deliver. And I was analyzing why they don't deliver. But when this guy said to me, you know, I never get what I want, despite practicing all these things. And I said, on the contrary, you get exactly what you want. The trouble is you don't realize what it is you're wanting. And you don't realize what it is you're actually communicating to your deeper self to manifest for you. I mean, it's like, it's probably never as well expressed as in the words of Jesus, which are recorded in St. John's Gospel, when he said, you know, when you pray for something, believe it is already yours.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we think we are masters of that art, but, you know, we can't even look at an image on television for 7 seconds without losing interest in it. And television has wrecked whatever was left of our focus, because it's all always flickering images, you know. We can't hold a focus.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the only way to accomplish anything. But if we think that we can manifest whatever we want, you know, when we read a book about the law of attraction or whatever, and, you know, we think, you know, all we have to do is sit there in bliss and wait for it to come to me, I mean, you've got another thing coming, because there's already a huge industry going on inside of us, you know, that is full of fear, full of guilt, full of apprehension, full of doubt. And all of these mechanisms are running at full blast.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, if you think you're going to sit back with your in the lotus position, listening to nice music with incense burning, and the whole universe that you desire is going to come to you, you are living in cloud cuckoo land, because you don't realize that you have vast engines of creation already churning out all this negativity, lack and fear and guilt inside you. They've got to be dealt with. before anything worthwhile can come. In other words, you don't realize what you're focusing on. You think you're focusing on this stuff, but those other deeper atavistic fears and dreads, etc., have their claws in you.
It's like layer upon layer upon layer that comes from not just this life alone and childhood experiences, but other lives as well that are all,
sure, all
talking and manifesting. And then we wonder why that little affirmation that we spilt out on this level didn't come to fruition.
Yeah, people walk around saying, I'm fabulously wealthy or I'm radiantly healthy, you know. They walk around or they sit down or do whatever they do. And they think if they do this for 5 minutes or 10 minutes or 30 minutes in the day, it's going to happen. You know, for the other 23 hours of the day, they're thinking the exact opposite.
Mm-hmm.
Their deepest acceptance and their deepest feeling is not that I'm fabulously healthy or radiantly healthy. Their deepest feeling is, oh my God, I hope I haven't got this disease, or I don't know what's going to happen to me when I get a little older. You know, they're generating the exact opposite, and they think that the half hour they spend with this little surface-level affirmation is going to counteract these deeply atavistic fears and dreads and negativities.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we need to take a spade to the root of all of these trees that have grown in us for so many years before you can make any kind of spiritual progress, and that is exactly what Jesus Christ came to teach us to do. And instead, lo and behold, it's all turned into suffering and dying for my sins to appease the anger of a vengeful, savage God.
Yeah.
It's nothing to do with what Jesus was about.
Yeah, I know there's one thing that is this big wraparound that people can't get their heads around, and I've always talked about that. You know, when Jesus was born, he said, I'm the Son of Man, and his identity was the son of Joseph and Mary, and then later on, you know, he started receiving messages, and he said, I'm a messenger of God, and then later on, he said, I'm the Son of God, and then the last thing he said was, I am God,
mm-hmm.
and that seems to be the pattern that he laid down for all of us to follow.
Yeah.
And that when we're first born, we think we're the son of our parents or daughter of our parents, and that's our identity.
Mm-hmm.
And we just think we're this body and this personality. And then as we, you know, start getting out in nature a little more or start exploring spirituality, we start receiving messages. And then later on, we realize that, wait a second, I'm a spirit that has a body.
Yeah.
And then the last thing you realize is that you become one with the one consciousness that encompasses all consciousness and all planes and dimensions.
But the path to that must take the form of what I've just been saying.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that if you do not address all that baggage that we come into this world with, the residue of previous existences, etc., unresolved, I mean, if we do not address those, you're never going to come to that realization.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to get those out of the way first. And unfortunately, the way the religious systems operate, not alone do we not get rid of the most burdensome things we're carrying, they're actually increased.
Yeah, I noticed that. They lay more layers of fear and guilt and unworthiness and separation on you, and which are all the layers that you're trying to get rid of, and they're really not bringing you at one with God. It's actually, there was an anti-Christ consciousness.
It is an Antichrist consciousness.
I would say a lot of the fundamental churches are teaching it.
Yeah. Mm. Well, that's a great tragedy. And, you know, they get so savage then, you know, defending God as if God needed defense or if Jesus needed defense.
Yeah.
I mean, he wouldn't be God or she or it wouldn't be God if he needed defense.
Yeah.
Or Jesus.
I, you know, I've always wondered about that. It's just I asked this guy once, you know, he said he was going to Iran or Iraq or whatever. I guess hopefully not Iran, but he's going to Iraq, and he was saying that, you know, he's on a mission, you know, and he said that basically these Muslims need to turn around or die, you know, that they need to become Christians or die, and I was sitting there talking to him, and I said, you know, that's the biggest line of crap you've ever been told, and I said, if you want to become cannon fodder, and if you want to believe that, and if you want to have the karma on your hands of killing, you know, innocent men and women, children, I think there's 1.2 million up to now have been killed, you know.
Really?
So it's something ridiculous. But I said, and then turn around and turn around and then get a nice good picture of Jesus and face Jesus and ask yourself, you know, who would Jesus kill? Who would Jesus bomb?
Mm-hmm.
Who would Jesus torture? And it really struck him.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw him later on. He got out. He was out. He was back. And he said, you know, I was sitting in a tank, and I just couldn't do it anymore. He said, it just came to me. I said, I can't do this anymore. And he goes, this isn't right. And he's back.
Yeah, exactly. That's a great point. I mean, it's exactly the same thing as that lieutenant of Osama bin Laden was making there this past week in his messages, you know, that the secret to the solution of the American economy is for everyone to become Muslim. I mean, this was yesterday or the day before.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's no cure for us to be saying the same thing in different terms.
Yeah.
And this is not the way forward. And
yeah,
God knows how long, I was just thinking of this today, how long has it been, you know, now that we're coming up to Christmas, how long has it been since Jesus was here? I mean, I was looking at, you know, when Jesus underwent his passion and died died on a Friday. We don't know when Jesus was born because there's no evidence in the Bible, but
mm-hmm.
we do have evidence about when he died. And it has to be in either on the 7th of April in the year 30 or the 3rd of April in the year 33, because there's no Friday before Passover in any other year in that span of time.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, how long ago is that? I mean, Jesus, depending on when his passion was, I almost said there by accident when he died, but when his passion was,
yeah,
he would have been somewhere between the ages of 34 to 38, or if it was the 3rd of April in 33, he was 37 to 41, somewhere
mm-hmm.
in that region at the time of his passion. So that leaves us, you know, with a full 2,000 years, give or take. And what have we made of this, the whole thing in the meantime? You know, nothing. Nothing. We've done worse than nothing, because we've totally lost what the message was and
mm-hmm.
substituted something else in its place, which has nothing to do with the person.
I like what you said in the movie, In the Contact Has Begun. You said if an advanced ET were to come to this planet and take a look at it, he would say that this was a failed experiment.
A failed experiment. Oh, it's on the verge of that. And, you know, I think, you know, I always think of that supernova that the Chinese astronomers witnessed, was it in 1066 or somewhere around then?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I wouldn't, if there are beings out there of enormous powers and ability, I'm not talking about supernatural beings, I'm talking about mm-hmm. physical beings that are up there, and they look at the kind of society that we have structured here, and, you know, the instances from archaeology and what historical records we have indicate that we destroyed civilizations here many times over. And, you know, if we're not lucky, we'll end up doing it again. You know, how many times do you need to learn the same lessons, and how many times does a thing happen in the history of a particular race before the race gets the message and realizes that this is not the way forward?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, any civilized race outside of here would probably not want to have much to do with the way things are going here.
No, I always said that. I said, you know, what's the point in an extremely advanced race coming here? The bottom line is we send our military out with their best technology to knock them down, to shoot them down, steal their technology, and back engineer it for the war industry. And we've made it very clear that we don't have the consciousness to have that kind of technology. And any race that was benevolent would probably try to make sure we didn't get that technology, and they're just going to take the high road and wait till we become a little less aggressive and a little less primitive and start focusing on, you know, living a more spiritual life in harmony with each other and the planet. And I talked about the UFO community, and I said, you know, the UFO community is totally fighting and bickering among themselves. They're censoring any kind of a positive message whatsoever. I've experienced this firsthand. And then they wonder why the UFOs aren't coming, and they've never created a space for them where people are working in harmony, that are working together, that aren't aggressive and aren't into this ego me program. And why would they come until we create some kind of a space for them?
Yes. It's, you know, in a sense, it's similar to what I said there earlier, that we want to believe before we can see, or we want to see before we can believe.
Yeah.
And it doesn't work that way. You know, I'm very much in favor of a strong military. I mean, I don't want some crazy group to arrive here on the shores. We're living on the West Coast here.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want some foreign power to arrive here and we've only peace shooters to repel them. I want a strong military right here. I'm very much in favor of a strong military. But, you know, it's like wanting to see before you believe. It's when we try to manifest any of these things and we realize that we have to let down our guard and trust, you know, when we're trying to manifest something and say in the words of Jesus, believe it's already yours. You know, we don't want to believe it's already yours because there's so many threats. I mean, I have to pay my mortgage, I have to pay my dental bill, I have to pay my children's school fees, whatever. We cannot trust that it's already done because we're too preoccupied with that they might get us if I let down my guard. And, you know, it's the hen and egg situation.
Yeah. Yeah, that's one of the things I try to create a space here where, you know, where the stress just isn't here. And people come here and feel that energy, and it is a place to open up. But hopefully one day this will be a template that people can come to and say, you know, this is the way I want to live. I want to live in harmony with each other and grow some fabulous gardens and spend, you know, time with nature and evolve, you know, and expand my consciousness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well,
I know you've been doing a great job of that, traveling around the world, you know, getting people to wake up to the bigger picture.
Well, let's hope, you know, every little drop, I suppose, helps in its own way. But I think, you know, it's easy to be discouraged and to feel that nothing is happening. But I was just thinking the other day, you know, if I look back to when I was first a professor a long time ago, and I was traveling a lot that time too, but I think there's been a massive shift since that time.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, even though you might think, you know, it's all useless, we're going backwards more than forwards, as we said earlier, actually I think there has been a lot of progress, and maybe, you know, in the words of that great book, maybe we will reach a tipping point soon where things will enter into a new paradigm.
Yeah, my brother said, one on the side of God is the majority, you know. And you think about that, you know, I thought about that, and I said, you know, in consciousness, if you're focused into, like, seventh level, and that's where you're drawing your energy from, or your consciousness energy, you're going to be touching thousands and thousands of other people.
Right.
And just through sympathetic resonance, you're going to raise their frequencies as well.
Yeah, sure.
So, I know there's a lot of people out there that are doing their quiet time and their focus work and have no idea how many they're, you know, affecting on the outskirts of their aura what's really going on.
Yeah.
And I know you've affected quite a few people, especially in my own family. My mother's in love with you and several other people.
Well, praise God.
Yeah, and they all... You know, all of a sudden, you know, with your background and your credentials and everything else, now all of a sudden, Uncle James is not so crazy.
Well, maybe you never can tell. But, you know, I don't believe in saying anything unless I can produce some reasons for it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's our safeguard. You know, I would, if I had not that mindset, and I know you have that mindset too,
mm-hmm.
but if we didn't have that mindset, I would probably still be where I was 30 years ago, and you would probably still be in real estate.
Mm-hmm.
But it's because we, you know, we had whatever it was. I don't know what the heck. I saw a program on Evel Knievel the other day, and I said, what drove that guy? You know, drive that motorcycle. He seemed to be, you know, scaring himself to death with everything he did. But at least it was something driving him to do something.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have that, that's what I was expressing in the Orb DVD, you know, that for the first time now, you know, we shouldn't just take pictures of orbs upon orbs upon orbs. I mean, people used to say to me, you've the largest collection of orb pictures in the world. And I said, probably I have, and I didn't know how many I had. But I had a massive computer collapse here. It's still collapsing over the last 2 months. And one of the main problems was, even though the computer had a large capacity, it was overloaded. And when we were downloading some stuff to try and make it function, which ultimately failed, I discovered I had 253,000 orb pictures on this machine alone, plus many others elsewhere. But the one thing that I thought about all this orb stuff is that for the first time, you know, anyone who's not a guru or a mystic can actually have access to dimensions of existence beyond ours.
Mm-hmm.
Before, you had to be a saint or some kind of preternatural being to do that. Now, we see it. But, you know, I think the situation, James, is parallel to what happened when the physicians or the physicists discovered the microscope back in the beginning of the 19th century. That people, physicians, were able to see chromosomes in the blood, in the human blood, for the first time. Now, if we just kept on taking pictures of orbs, it would be very much like if those physicians just kept on looking at the blood chromosomes and did nothing to move from that to help them to treat disease and promote good health. And likewise, if we don't move to see what the orbs tell us about the nature of the universe in which we live and about the makeup of you and I, we're missing the boat. And when you do that, you realize that this universe with its layers is frequency-based. There's no difference between me and the orbs, even the orbs next door, which are in infrared. The only difference is frequency, and so on up the scale. And what you realize is, if you were trying to access the quantum field, which is the sixth plane in the electromagnetic spectrum, you cannot do that in the physical body. There's no way, and this is why all the self-help programs fail so badly. Because you cannot access the quantum field through an ordinary physical consciousness. You have to change things within yourself. You have to activate those other dimensions of us that are hanging there. We're not hanging here in the physical with no suspension above us. As I often used to say, an atheist is a man with no invisible means of support.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we're not hanging here in the physical with no support between the Creator and us. There are six other dimensions of you and I that are hanging between the Creator and ourselves, and that the Creator interpenetrates, in, as St. Paul put it, in Him we live and move and have our being.
Mm-hmm.
And it's when you get to that stage, when you realize you're in a physical universe, but that the whole thing is ultimately frequency, and you realize if you can change those frequencies, then there is nothing that you cannot do or cannot have. There's no state of health or wealth that's beyond you. Then the whole foundation for all the problems that besiege this world so badly, especially at the present time, lack and greed and competition and hatred and jealousy, all of those are permanently undermined, because we know that there's nobody to blame for anything except ourselves. As I quoted that man I spoke to, I can't get what I want. I said, you're getting exactly what you want. We are all getting exactly what we want. It's just we haven't got honest with ourselves to analyze in our minds what we're really focusing on and accepting. But if you realize that it's only it only requires the manipulation of frequency to accomplish anything we want, then the whole basis for greed and competition is gone. Mm-hmm. And that's the only way that there will ever be an advanced civilization on this planet, in my humble opinion.
Now, can you give us, we're almost out of time here, can you give us some solutions on how do we raise those frequencies?
Well, that is a long story, and I'm just looking at the time now, and I certainly can't do it in this time.
Yeah, we have a couple of minutes.
But a couple of minutes. Well, I think you... maybe the quickest way, if people wanted to look at that, I have a lot of articles on topics like these that are posted on my website that I do for the Bleeping Herald, the magazine that came out of What the Bleep Do We Know.
Mm-hmm.
And if they went to my website and looked at some of those, because I'm touching on a lot of those topics right now, that's Hamburger Universe, HAMBURGERUNIVERSE.com. They'll probably find, you know, something that will work on that particular problem. But that is our basic issue, that all those self-help programs that have been vaunted so so much, even like the law of attraction, even like the secret, even all those, you know, the things that were so powerful. People try them, and then people get disillusioned and disappointed. And, you know, on balance, I'm wondering if people would actually have been better off if they had never come across those products. Because the last day, as the gospel says, of that person is worse than the first. But now they've tried, and they've had hopes risen up, and great promise. And it's all because I think that it was conveyed that it was all really simple.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not. It's certainly possible, and very possible indeed, to do. But it's not something that you can do, you know, in the gaps between taking out the garbage and cooking dinner.
Yeah, flipping between channels of soap opera.
Oh, yes, definitely. You can't
like garbage in, garbage
break.
Out. You know, you fill your mind with all that garbage, and then you wonder why your life is a big drama.
Your life is a big drama because that is what you have decided it's going to be.
Exactly.
Because you're flicking through the channels, and that is your focus of your life. I mean, you're creating reality sitting looking at television as much as you are when you're in a transcendental meditation state on top of the Himalayas.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I think all of your DVDs, I always tell people to get them. They can go to hamburgeruniverse.com. We also have them on our website as well.
Oh, good.
And we have a link up on the show here for people to go over and get the
great. The
DVDs and the books. And I think they should get every one of them and create a whole new mindset and then go from there, because I found them very enlightening. And a lot of other people who have been very misled have come into their own power after, you know, watching these DVDs.
Well, hopefully there'll be another one soon, and I'm working on my book on Jesus at the moment, hoping to get it at long last brought together. It'll be the first volume of my three.
Yeah, we're out of time.
We
could go on for four more hours. I know.
Oh, I'm sure we could.
But we'll definitely have you back on the show again real soon.
I look forward to it, James. Thank you so much for inviting me.
All right.
Have
an awesome interview with Michal Ledwith, and this is James Gillen with As You Wish Talk Radio signing off. Have a great evening, and check out those books and DVDs. They're awesome.
Okay.
Good night.
Thanks, James. Merry Christmas.
All right, you too.
Bye-bye.
Hi, everybody. This is Ron Amatron from the Creation Light Ship, and tonight is Saturday Night Live on the Light Ship. So we have a lot of people who like to tune in on Saturday night because they actually have physical healings with the light beam. So this is a wonderful opportunity. So just stay online here, and we'll go to the Light Ship probably in about a half an hour. And what we'd like to do first is just do some entity work with people. Remember, entities are what you may call ghosts, and these energies you want to get out of our bodies so that we can have more spirit energy with us. This program is basically dedicated to get you more into your body with your spirit so you can have a much higher spiritual consciousness. So just sit back and relax, and if you wish, stroll down on the Creation Lightship page and go about an inch or so down on the scroll bar, and you're going to see a light beam there. We're going to energize her during this show right now. Just kind of watch her, and we're putting some energy into the light beam. And this will be the females coming through. They normally come in one at a time, but we'll bring three of them in for you tonight. And if you're a seer or somebody who actually senses energies, you're actually going to feel them later on in the program here as we go to the light ship for specialized healing. So, Sylvia, as I'm doing this, do you want to come on? Are you out there in cyberspace?
I'm here. Hello, and welcome, everyone. We have a very special program in store tonight. As some of you know, we have some of our listeners now coming forward to actually sponsor particular radio shows. And in that way, they can come on and ask all the questions that they've been wanting to ask and ask for particular healing samples that have a special meaning for them. And we have coming on in just a few minutes tonight one of our listeners, Pauline, and we're very excited to welcome her onto this program tonight, and it's a very special birthday for her, so we'll be doing that shortly. And anyone else that would like to kind of communicate during the program can do that by getting onto the fast chat, and that way you can stay connected with us. We had a wonderful show with Annika last night. And if any of you are interested in sponsoring your own show, please just send an email to Ron at healing@creationlightship.com, and then you can find out about that as well. So I'll just turn it back over to you, Ron, to continue with the clearings that you're doing right now before we bring on Pauline.
Okay, so just sit back and relax. We'll start to release some of the entities from you. So if you want to sense or feel the energy is being released, we'll work with the bottom of your feet, and we'll move up to the top of your head. And so right now we're working with the bottom of our feet, moving up to our ankles, and to our calves now, to our knees. And entities can attach to us through pain. So if you've had a problem maybe recently or maybe in the past, that could also attract entities in these locations. So they're being released right now from you, as much as we can release during this time. And here we go, moving up now to your waist. And we'll start moving up kind of around your solar plexus area right now. And now we're moving up to your shoulders and neck, going up to the top of our head right now, going down our arms. So some people actually feel them leave, and they have like chills in their body. They might have their hair stand up on end. Everybody has their own little experience. And you will definitely feel a change in frequency, a change in energy, as we bring more of you back into your body. This is what we're going to do right now for you. So I need to command the energy, so I'll just count to 10 to bring in more of your spirit. And the spirit in your heart center is also going to help do this process. So here we go. Coming back more into your body, and the parts that left you now are actually cleaned up with the emotional trauma released from them, so they can come back into you. You don't want to bring anything back to yourself that's traumatized. And plus, your spirit probably would not want to come in anyway because it's been here, done that. So here we go. Coming in. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10. Coming in some more. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10. And more. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10. And 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10. So you might feel a little heavier now that you're in your body more. You might even, if you have a mirror, look at your eyes in a mirror, and they should be a little brighter for you. Next, we'll do a chakra alignment. And our chakras go out of alignment through people maybe connecting with you, mind energy. We've all heard of energy vampires, where you go into a room and you feel kind of funny because people are projecting their thoughts toward you, and so your chakras will rearrange themselves for their own protection and your protection of your body. So here we go. We're going to reposition your heart center. Moving it now. There we go. And throat chakra. And third eye. Now we're going to move back down to your solar plexus area, power chakra. Great and second chakra around the navel, and base of your tailbone, your first chakra. And if you like, we can do a chakra opening. And I like to go body width for people. That way you can actually have more energy in your body, and also it'll have more energy for healing tonight. So here we go. I use the word spin to open up your chakras. And this is your choice if you want them opened or not. If you don't want them, then, you know, just tell your body not to do this. So here we go. Go to the heart center first. Spin, 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 open. Throat chakra, spin, 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 open. Third eye, spin, 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 open. And now below the heart, power chakra, spin, 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 open. Second chakra, spin, 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 open. And first chakra, spin, 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 open. A lot of people must be having first chakra stuff, maybe survival, maybe the holiday seasons of that scenario of going out, maybe buying gifts might be affecting some people there. So here we go. We're going to now do the mind to heart drop. This is going to have you surrender your mental body, your awakening consciousness, if you would, the thoughts that you have between your ears. And we'll just say your forehead is like the 10th floor of an elevator, and the first floor is your heart center. We're going to drop you down now. So here we go. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, and 1. And we'll do it again. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, and 1. And 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, and 1. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, and 1. And one more time. You should start to feel the energy in your heart center now. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, and 1. Okay. So you should be able to have some thoughts now, and just think of a thought, and it should be coming out of your heart center in your chest cavity. If you're not through, I'll do this two more times here to get you down a little bit further. And this is where your thought should be when you start to think right now. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, and 1. And 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, and 1. Okay, we'll just put some music on. You can stay in your heart center. Sylvia, I'll turn it back over to you.
All right, great. Well, if you're just tuning in with us, we have a very special evening in store. In a little while, we'll be going to the Creation Lightship for a special healing session there so you can experience what that's like. And right now, we're going to welcome onto the line one of our listeners, who I believe is from the New York area. Her name is Pauline, and this is a very special birthday for us, and she's sponsoring this evening's show. And I'd like to bring her on now and get started with the questions that she has. So welcome, Pauline.
Hi, Sylvia.
Hi, Pauline.
Hi, everybody. Hi, Ron.
Hi. It's very hard to hear you. If you can try to speak up just
a little louder.
That'd be great. And would you like to start with your first question?
Well, I'd like to have Kuan Yin come in. I sort of like reminded me what Annika did yesterday. She brought in St. Bernadette, and I have affinity to Kuan Yin. So if Ron could bring Kuan Yin in.
That would be wonderful. So, Ron, would you like to bring Kuan Yin's energy in through the light being, or how would you like to do that this evening?
So that sounds great. So just maybe watch the light being on your monitor screen right now. And we'll bring in the energy from Kuan Yin. This is the spirit energy of Kuan Yin from the light shift. And down here, that spirit energy came into Kuan Yin. So this is a very pure energy. And it's the original creation energy of what we know as Kuan Yin. So here it comes. And I'll just count to 10 so you can experience this here. Watch the light beam. And these are all heart-based energies, so you can actually feel them, sense them in your heart center. So here we go. I'll count to 10. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10. Okay, I'll just put some music on again and just kind of relax for a minute and experience this wonderful divine energy coming in. Remember, it's only in the heart where you're going to feel it. Okay, Pauline.
Yes.
And Sylvia, I'll turn it back over to you, Sylvia, first here. How was that for you?
Okay, well, that sure felt wonderful to me. I hope you enjoyed that. Pauline, is there another energy that you'd like to have Ron bring in, or do you want to ask another question first?
I think I'd like to ask another question. Okay. Because we talked about the God plane now. I never grew up with any kind of religion, so except I found out that I'm a Taoist, and supposedly that's not a religion, and that's connected like to nature-based kind of a thing, and that sort of like reminds me of indigenous cultures, like the Native Americans. They don't really have a God that I know of. The question basically is that since they connect to earth energies, like, this nature in general, does that mean that I'm not, quartered to any kind of God plane? Or, if some people don't have a religion or any kind of thing like that, I don't know, because like today when you did the parallel lives of me, I didn't expect to have any kind of like connection with any dark energies. I really didn't think I would connect, but I actually did have some things. So I don't really, you know, like I thought I would be immune from all this kind of stuff since I never had any religion in this lifetime at least.
That's a good question. Yeah, our genetics still has connections to the God plane, even though we may not even have went to church in this lifetime. So we are recycling the past. And for the newcomers listening, the God plane energy is our mass consciousness, collective consciousness. These are the energies that was brought here by the extraterrestrials for us to partake in. And in there, there's a lot of information. And there's also, with that, is a lot of mind control as you connect to these energies. So this is why we try to disconnect from that, so you can go to your heart. So basically, there's two energies. There's the mind-controlling energies, which is mass consciousness. And remember, there's a lot of books now written about that. That's the New Age teachings, is to have your thoughts control your reality. And then that boils down to the force of will. And one mind being stronger than the next, and then you get your response, your law of cause and effect through that, because you're able to manipulate and control someone else. And that's kind of how that works. When you're in the heart center, there's no manipulation, and that's the difference. So love energy will never control anything because it's all the same. Where in mind energy, it's the difference of one faction controlling another faction. So the God energies that we have that are still inside of us, ingrained in us, can resurface in this lifetime, even if you haven't went to a church or not. And or people might be praying for you. And so if they pray for you, then all of a sudden you are connected anyway, because like I say, you know, there's two definitions for the word pray. There's one for P-R-A-Y and also one for P-R-E-Y. So you may understand those two. So when you pray to something outside of yourself, asking favor, then you are at prey to that energy that is connecting to you. And these are normally always extraterrestrial energies, because the light ship, the divine source energy that created you, does not need you to connect to it. You're already connected in your heart center. And so this is the whole teachings of Jesus, not to go outside of yourself. So once you fully understand that, you will see how humanity has really been led astray, especially now in our lifetime, since we're close to ascension, and this is how they're choosing to work with us. So yes, if you have been prayed for by a group of people, they probably have connected you to the God plane, even though you haven't went to church. And you did mention about going out into nature. Anything that is created by the earth spirit is pure love energy. It's just that when we get a hold of it and try to inject our thoughts into something, just like people do with they say crystals or pendants, where they do some type of affirmation, thinking they're bringing in some divine energy from this mass consciousness that is controlled by the extraterrestrials. At that point in time, that is now connected to that. So if you have a pendant and you're wearing it, you should always check with your spirit first to see if that pendant is going to harm you. Even though it may sound good, the literature may sound wonderful about it, but where did the person, the practitioner, the person doing the alignment, the attunements with this here, the energy transmissions, where do they come from? Because the divine energy does not do this. So this is the whole thing, is to not go outside of yourself. The divine energy is always with you. You have all frequencies with you of the divine. It's never outside of yourself. This is how the dark side has held us here in bondage, is because they are using our mind energy, the thoughts of the mind, in place of using the heart energy of your spirit and its thoughts. So it overrides that completely. And it's so potent now that we very seldom ever hear our spirit talking to us, unless you actually choose to do that heart-to-mind drop like we did. I mean, the mind-to-heart drop, excuse me, that we did earlier on the show. So back to you, Sylvia.
Okay, great. Well, that was a really good question, Pauline, and great answer, Ron. So, Pauline, what would your next question be?
I also wanted to ask questions about, Ron, you know about these kids that supposedly are out there that are, I guess, special, but some of them are sort of like, I don't know if this is a question I should ask, but since they can't communicate or they're having problems, because I don't really know what, they're not able to communicate, and they're having, like, issues emotionally, and so they're sort of blocked, like some of us are. Is that because they're also, you know, under the influence and attack of the dark energies as well as, like, all of us are?
Yes, probably more so. They may be spirits that maybe haven't incarnated for a while, and they possibly are now here to do the ascension. And because they may have maybe a little more spirit knowledge, the dark side does target them and make their life much more difficult. And this is why some people ask and say, gee, you know, I feel I'm very, very spiritual. My parents just really are not there. And I had a fight for who I am for my whole lifetime. And I was abused as a child and went through different types of maybe negative experience. And I just don't understand that, why I would pick such a rough family to live in. Well, it's not that you probably pick the best of the worst, okay? Remember, the dark side forces you to incarnate each lifetime. This is why I call this place a prison planet, because you really can't get out of it here. And you can during the ascension time, yes, but mainly we're locked in here, like I talk about the Hotel California song by the Eagles. You know, you can, you know, we're programmed to receive. You can check out any time you like, but you can never leave. And that's kind of the way the forced reincarnation is here. The divine energy has never created forced reincarnation. That goes against the law of free will and free choice. So normally what would happen here, if it was run by the light, you would come in one time, one experience, and leave. And if you wanted to come back, that's your free choice. And I'm sure everybody out there listening knows they've been here for a long time. And in fact, I just did a healing on a lady a few weeks ago. I did my sensory clearing, which is all of her past life traumas, and she went back to, I think it was 98,100 B.C. So she's been here for quite a while, and that's the oldest one so far that I've found, when the spirit actually came into a physical body here. So the main thing is to you know that these special children are probably heavily targeted by the dark side, because they may have more of their spirit energy with them, and so naturally, the expression of them, you know, they don't want to come out. So I can do healings with them. That might be the other question. What can the light ship do for these children who are having troubles? Yes, the light ship can do healings and can help them with some of that process to connect them more with their spirit energy and to take away more of this density of blocked energies given to them by the dark side, and to get rid of the mind control energies too, to help them out. So back to you, Sylvia.
Okay, great. Well, Pauline, is there another divine energy that you'd like to have Ron bring in before we go into the next question?
Well, not really. I just have more questions.
Okay, well, fire away.
Yesterday when Annika asked for the, that particular healing called a magnetic alignment, and he was saying that we were off by certain degrees and stuff like that, I was just wondering if that has anything to do with the physical body, where people's spines are out of alignment, or there's, like, I have TMJ, so my jaw is totally, you know, off in degrees, and I just was wondering if that has anything to do with the magnetic alignment, what you shared with us yesterday.
So that's a very good question. I can't say definitely yes, that could cause that problem. What I can say is that these bodies inside of us get turned and twisted by the dark side. And I'll just describe the dark side for the new listeners. The dark side are beings that are soulless, okay, and also beings that were created from the light, that kind of, you know, turned against the light, or are carrying controlling energies with them. And so they're not really working in the light 100%. So they're actually working against us here and helping to produce the mind control that we have here. So what happens is I do two special clearings now. The first one is what I call the sludge body. And the sludge body is how the dark side connects to your physical body. So it's like a goopy tar around you, sticky tar, molasses, and they somehow put that around you. And then that's the first clearing. I'm doing a second part to that now, so a second individual clearing, where it actually connects and releases energies from your skin layers, And once that's released, then all of a sudden all these little implants become seeable. So from there we can do some implant removing. So that's another part of the healing. But these two bodies are what's used to turn the invisible bodies inside of you and put them out of order. And what I'll do is a sample clearing here, and I'll do two bodies for you. It's hard to say how many you have out of whack. There's no real reason why some people have more than others. But what I will do is turn them so they're more correct. You could be a couple turns out, we'll say over 700 degrees. You could be 180 degrees, could be 90. But what I'm going to do is just move two of these bodies that we have not moved before on you. So if you've been listening and we did a couple of these sample clearings, we'll just select two more. The light beams will do that. They know which ones they worked with. And we'll take two more of these and put them a little bit more correct. So here we go. Remember that they could be out much more than 20 degrees very easily. Most people that I've done so far, I think the lowest number of degrees I probably have had, I think, is around 50. So here we go. We'll just say body number one, and the light beams will sample and find out which one you need to be turned right now. So just kind of sit back, relax, and try to sense the energy inside of your body. So here we go. 20 degrees, 19, 18, 17, 16, and 15 degrees. And now we'll go 14, 13, 12, 11, and 10 degrees. And 9, 8, 7, 6, 5. And 4, 3, 2, and 1. So there we go. That just got shifted inside of you. And these normally go from left to right. Okay? Next body. And again, the light beams will decide which one they want to work with you on. Here we go. And also your spirit has a say in this too. So here we go. So 20 degrees, 19, 18, 17, 16, 15. Next is 14, 13, 12, 11, 10. And 9, 8, 7, 6, 5. And 4, 3, 2, and 1. So a lot of people, when I do this at the different workshops that I have, they actually feel this. And some people get a little dizzy, and some people feel, wow, I really got corrected on the inside. My internal body feels different, okay, because they don't know how to really relate to it, but they know that their inside of their body does feel a change. So back to you, Sylvia.
Okay, so that's a wonderful new clearing that's just recently been coming out. How did you enjoy that, Pauline? Did you feel that as those bodies were turning?
Not really. I didn't feel that, but I guess I was glad he answered what he did, and maybe it was for everybody else.
Well, you know, sometimes we can feel it, and sometimes, like Ron says, we are not always able to feel it, but they are still working with us, and so that's great.
Okay.
And I wanted to mention just... also, before we go to the light ship, Pauline, if there's special rooms that you particularly enjoy, if you would, you know, maybe think of three rooms that you'd like to suggest for this evening's trip, that would be great.
Okay. You want me to tell you now?
Sure, if you have them in mind.
The crystal room.
Okay.
Ron said he wanted to take us to the food court, so I don't know why he mentioned that to me, but that's
what
I'm going
to the food court and have some cake.
Have some birthday cake for you.
and
ask the choir to sing.
Okay. And I don't know. Let them surprise me.
Okay. Now, when you say the crystal, do you enjoy the amethyst crystal room? Is that one that you like?
I don't know. Something new. I really want to, because now that, you know, Ron mentioned about the crystals, you know, some of these crystals are programmed that I have. I'd like to see what light ship crystals really feel like, so I will know. You know, when I check with my crystals, what I'm supposed to be feeling rather than what I'm already only being programmed to feel. So,
okay, well, maybe we can go to a crystal room and maybe have the masters, some of the masters come in and do healing with us in the crystal room.
Okay.
It's a really wonderful experience. Okay, so do you have another question in mind, Pauline?
No, I think, isn't it time to go? I don't really. I think it's. but
we could go on for another maybe 10 minutes or so if you like, Pauline.
Oh, really? Okay, then I do have one question really that has been concerning me, because they're switching over the TV station signals, and I'm wondering what kind of clearings I'm going to need, because right now I'm already sensitive enough to EMF fields and people's emotional stuff. I know I need a clearing for, you know, feeling bodies and all that other stuff. Now, when this switch comes, I'm wondering if they're using that to do more mind control on us, and so what kind of clearings will we need for the rest of us who are sensitive? I'm sure there are other people besides me on this listening in who already have these sensitivities as well.
Well, I don't have any information at this present moment on that, Paulina. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Just get clearings, I guess. I'm sure that if that's needed, the light ship could create something for people. But still, for me, the main foundation of what the light ship is doing is to get you into your body more so that, you know, your spirit can be with you, you know, up to 100%. And that has all the protection that you need, typically, to ward off some of these things. So this is why, you know, most people are only 20% in their bodies, and they need a lot of help because, you know, your spirit is not there to help you. It's not, you know, it was designed to help you, but it's not with you because we've actually chased our spirits away just by living in trauma and drama here and different situations that are not in love energy. Plus the mind control transmissions that we have from these extraterrestrial beings of all the different races doing that to us. So I get people asking me questions, and they say, gee, Ron, don't you like the ETs, you know? And I say, well, yeah, I don't mind them, you know, but, you know, and they say, well, there's some good ones out there. I say, well, show me one, and what are they doing to help us? Everybody has lip service, but I have not seen them meet the pavement here to take us out of war to do different things. You know, give us clean water and maybe different types of energy-efficient fuels, et cetera. You know, we all know the situation that the Earth is in right now. And it's probably more on the greed-based, aspect and, you know, people being, you know, having to pay a lot of money for things become slaves to money. But basically, you know, if these beings are of this high-level consciousness, and definitely they would be if they are in UFOs flying around, because we don't own one ourselves on our parking lot, you know. I don't know anybody out there who has one that they fly around in themselves. So, you know, where are they? And then people say, well, the reason why they're not helping us is because we're here to learn our lessons. And they cannot, with spiritual law, interfere. Well, they're already allowing us to have mind control. So if they are these high divine beings, why aren't they protecting us from mind control? So this is kind of where I stand on the alien UFO intervention here, is that they're not here. They probably never have been here to protect our interests. And naturally, you know, they gave us the atomic bomb, and we know what that has done to people here. And remember, everything that is channeled down here, either through information to scientists or even people getting onto websites, posting divine channeling, these all come from the extraterrestrials. They don't come from creation energy, because creation energy is already inside of you. This is where you get your own information when you drop into your heart center. So, like I said, we're being controlled, completely mind-controlled by the extraterrestrial, the ETs, that are out there telling us what to believe and what not to believe. And, you know, they're in control of us completely. So what I'm going to do now is take us out of the mind-control energies. The light ship will do this here, so I'll just sit back and relax. And I want you to really look and sense your computer monitor screen, check the lights in your room, you know, feel the energy around you, try to feel the energy from your wall outlets. And I'm going to count to 10, and the light ship will take you and put you like into a bubble, and you're not going to feel this presence of this energy. So Pauline was mentioning earlier about the digital broadcast. And, yeah, we do have, I'm sure, digital energy is coming into us anyway from other type of situations. So we have many different types of energies going through our bodies. So I'm going to take you out of this right now. The life is going to do this when I count to 10. So I have to do this to command the energy. So here we go. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10. I'm just going to put some music on just for maybe about a minute here so that you're able to sense and feel, just kind of look at different things and just see how your body's feeling now. You should be completely at peace. Sylvia, I'll turn it back over to you.
All righty. So I just want to thank everyone who's contributing comments on the fast chat this evening. And Annika, thank you. Yeah, she was mentioning that her kids have had clearings that are really helping them blossom. So I just wanted to mention that because it does tie in also with your questions, Pauline, about whether the light ship can help with children. And also thank you, Annika, for the wonderful comment about the magnetic clearing. That's great. And we have someone asking if they can bring their dog and cat with them to the light ship, and absolutely you can. And they usually really love that. So just think of them when we go up to the light ship tonight. And we have quite a few people having comments to say happy birthday to you, Pauline. So that's very nice. So let's see. Well, do we have time for one more question, Ron, or do we want to head up to the light ship now?
Yeah, we could do one more. We can run over maybe 5 or 10 minutes, too. So, yes, go ahead.
Okay, Pauline, do you have one more question?
Left. I just wanted to leave more on a positive note. I kept asking about a lot of dark energies tonight. I shouldn't have done that, but I had those questions, and I'm hoping maybe now we should shift it back to something positive, maybe. How about bringing in the MM&M, if you don't mind?
Sure, M, M, and N. So that's the three M's. So for people who don't know who they are, these are Archangel Michael and Metatron and Melchizedek. So we'll bring them in one at a time here, and then we'll put some music on for you to partake in their energy. So just watch the light beam on your monitor screen. And here comes Archangel Michael. This is his original spirit energy. So here he comes. So I'll count to 10 as it comes in through the light beam. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10. And now we'll bring in, I'll let you just watch the light beam for a minute here as it comes in, as Archangel Michael comes in through this energy. And here we go. Now we'll do Archangel Metatron. So here we go. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10. And it does have a different flavor, we'll say. Can you feel that, Pauline and Sylvia?
Well, I'm actually being distracted. One of my friends came on. I'm so happy that I got some of my people to come on finally.
Oh, that's great. Hey.
That's quite nice to experience the different energy and kind of the shift as the picture changes. The light being picture does seem to change in the quality, too. And sometimes if you watch it, you can sort of see the face itself change from being to being. So it's quite nice.
So if you are new, if you just came on, just scroll down on Creation Lightship Healings, about an inch or so on your scroll bar, and you'll see a light beam there. It's just above the list of services here. Now we'll bring in Melchizedek. So again, I'll count to 10 to command the energy. So here we go. This is the spirit energy of Melchizedek. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10. Here we go. And I'll just put some music on here. And again, just kind of relax and request some healings. And you can request guidance, too. These are all heart-based energies. Sylvia, if we could do one more question before we go to the light shift, if Pauline would like to give one or bring in another divine energy, it's up to her.
Okay, Pauline, do you have one more question or request before we go?
One more request. Buddha?
Okay, great. Do you want to bring the energy of Buddha in, Ron?
Sure. Okay. So, again, just watch the light beam on your monitor screen. And, again, I'll count to 10 to command the energy. And for those of you, you may want to just put your hand up in front of the monitor screen, maybe 6 inches to a foot away, and you might actually feel the presence of this wonderful energy of Buddha coming through. So here we go. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10. Should we go to the light ship, everybody?
Sounds good. And in case anyone's wondering, because there's no show after us this evening, we are going to be able to go a few minutes over. So sit back, relax, and let's go to the light ship.
Okay, so for the new people who are listening, the creation light ship, if you just take in the Bible, the word Father, what Jesus was talking about, and put in creation light shift, you have a really well understanding of what he was talking about at that time. And since we're 2,000 years later, naturally things have changed in consciousness, so this is the way it is. And you go to the light ship is physical. You become physical on it. You're taken up out of time. This is not like your astral body or just your spirit. This is actually your whole physical body being transported out of time. So you're going to still be where you are, but you're going to be on the light ship walking around. And I do have people who seem perfectly fine on the light ship. They saw the light beams. They could see out the windows and everything else. So, and this is not a meditation. So it may sound like a guided meditation because I'm able to see. I bilocate instantly to the light ship. I'm on the light ship working continuously as a light beam doctor. And so I'll tell you what room we're going into. So, again, if you have any animals or pets you'd like to bring along, just think of them now in your consciousness. And a lot of people like to hold their animals, and animals just love it on the light ship. So here we go. And I'm connecting to everybody online, and this will only work right now live, since we're doing this show live. It will not work on the archives due to, you know, our extraterrestrial intervention out there of abductions. And I don't want anybody thinking that they can go to the light ship just by thinking about it, because they think they can't, because you cannot. So here we go. Connecting with everybody right now, and you may feel energy around your body. And you can also watch the light beam on your screen, too, if you wish, or just close your eyes and relax. And stay in your body because you need your spirit with you for healing. So here we go. We're going to be going up. I'll count to 10. And you can actually feel the white light tunnel that we're going up through right now. And here we go. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10. And we're in the first room now. And this room is where they actually check us out. This is the transporter room. They do our DNA scanning to see what type of life form we are. And this is where our animals and pets now leave us, and they go off for their own particular healings. And next we're going into the orientation room. And this is where they talk to us. We're able to select the different doctor teams, and there's many of them. They are normally in groups of three, and most of the teams are male energies. The females, if they do take that life form, will normally be in between you and the males with the different procedures, and they communicate our wishes to the males. So here we go. We're going now and picking our teams. And some people pick between maybe typically three to maybe as many as a dozen different teams of light beam doctors. And the different type of life forms, there's crystals, there's animals like we have here, there's dolphins, there's whales. There's, like I said, crystals, there's water energies, all different types of life forms, plus the masters and angels are there too. So we're going now down a long hallway. So for you seers out there or feelers, to the left side is the light ship windows. And we're actually walking down a long hallway. It kind of curves slightly to the right. And now we're approaching the doorway. This is the procedure rooms here. And the first room that we're going into is the hot tub room. This is very, very standard for all the different types of healings that we do. They want to do a detox on us. So we're in these wonderful hot tubs and the different colored gels. This time I'm seeing the gel which kind of is pink, and it has silver speckles in it. So you may actually see that. It doesn't touch your skin, though, but it does go all around you. And if you're in a location right now where it's cool outside and you want to get warmed up a little bit, you can just request, and you may actually find your physical body right now getting a little bit warmer because it's happening up on the light ship also. So you're at two places at one time. You're bilocated out of time, and you naturally you're still here listening to me. Next, we're going into another room. And this room here is where the dolphins are. So we're going into a special pool of water. And the water is silver, sparkles like diamonds, and the dolphins will be doing their special healings on us. So if you wish to feel the dolphin skin, you can put your hand down in front of you, maybe go out about 6 inches or so, maybe use both hands, palms facing forward, and kind of move it out till your hands actually stop. And you're doing this on the light ship right now, and we're actually touching the skin of the dolphins, and you may actually feel the skin. It, to me, it's very, very slick. And you're going to feel the vibrations coming from the dolphin for healing, along with whatever they're doing themselves for healing also to us. They use special energies, part energy to heal us. So what I'm going to do is just put some music on right now so you can just kind of sit back, relax, and actually feel the energy of the dolphins. And I'll see you back in about a minute here. So again, request your healing. And just request maybe a couple of things during this short little session here. A request from Pauline to go into a crystal room, so we'll go into maybe three of these here. So the first room we're going to go into is a large amethyst crystal geode, and it's very, very large. Individual points are in there, and we're levitating, and so we're going to experience this energy right now. So just, again, sit back and relax and just feel this wonderful crystal energy. Another wonderful crystal healing room. And this one here has like clear points in it, kind of like quartz. They're very long. Some go up to about 12 foot in length. And again, we're levitating and having this wonderful crystal energy. So you're going to be able to sample the different energies now of the different crystals. So here we go. We're in this room levitating again. One of these crystals are conscious. To another crystal geode, and this has pure gold energy of crystals, so this would be quite nice. And again, we're levitating, and you can feel the gold crystal energies. Thank you. going to another location now. This is where they can help to relieve physical pain. If you have any pain in your body, we're in the special location now, and the light beam doctors will start to work with you. So request your healing. Some people like to put their hands on their body where they have physical pain. So, again, I'll see you back in about a half a minute here. We're in many rooms at one time. Now where they work with inside of our mouth, work with our sinuses, our gums, our teeth. So again, request healing. They can check out our ears and our eyes also. Remember, they only work in the now, so you must request your healing. Another room where they work with our back muscles. So if you have any aches or pain, just request a healing. And we're in this room right now. And then we'll go to the food court in about a minute here. Remember, the light beings, the ones that do eat food, actually eat. And some of those, remember, these are physical bodies, which they'll be having in their next incarnation, wherever they plan to be going to. So they do have physical form like us. And there are light beings that don't eat whatsoever. But when they're on the light ship, they're still considered light being status. To the food court. So the food court, like I said, is where all the different light beings eat. Some have just energy transmissions done to them. And we'll go to the area where we're going to have a little birthday celebration for Pauline. Now, these light beings don't eat much. The portions are very, very small. So they are bringing us over about the size of a small sugar cube of, we'll say, cake, okay? And we're out there with Pauline now. If we have any seers, you're actually going to actually sense the energy of the people up there having a little birthday party. And we have this little piece of cake in our hand right now. It's between our thumb and our index finger. And we're now going to put it in our mouth underneath our tongue. So you might actually feel the texture of the cake as you have it inside of your mouth and the way it actually tastes. You might feel the texture. You might feel the lightness of it. And you may actually feel your saliva changing. And we're going to have a special occasion here where we go into a special room and the light being choir will start to sing like happy birthday, we'll say, or do their vibrations here for Pauline and all of us here. This is a very wonderful room to go into. So if you're actually, you know, in tune a little bit, you may actually feel these vibrations go through your body as these light beings sing their wonderful songs and harmonies to us here. So we're in these rooms right now. And just sit back and relax and have a wonderful experience here. Having some nice juice to drink right now. So this is an orange-colored juice, about a half a teaspoon. And you may actually feel your saliva changing here during this process. Going to one final room on the light ship, and this is in a different location on the light ship. Remember, the light ship created everything of light frequency, and it actually created you. So we're going to go into the very special room where you were created, and this will be you in totality coming into your body. This is kind of what we call love comes walking in, and as you open the door, you're going to see a beautiful silhouette of you, the spirit energy, pure divine energy. I'm going to count to 10. And this divine energy of you will walk into your body to energize you. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10. Okay. Just enjoy this divine communion with yourself right now. we're leaving this special room, and we're going to be coming back down here. Energy will be leaving us, so we're going into the orientation room. This is where we actually conference with the wonderful light being doctors, and they tell us what they found, our problems are, what's wrong with us, we'll say, and we can ask them any questions, and you may have that conscious awareness down here. So all the healings are between you and these light being doctors. And now we're getting ready to come down. So we're going next to the next room, which is the transporter room. And if you brought any animals or pets up, they're now coming to you, joining you. And we'll come down the white light tunnel. So I'll just count to 10. And you're going to feel the energy shift once I get done with this process here. So here we go, coming down. So I'll just count backwards from 10. So 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, and 1. So now you're disconnected from the light shift, and we're here now. So I guess we'll say happy birthday, Pauline, to you. And I'll just turn it back over to Sylvia. I hope you enjoyed this special night. Thank you, Pauline, for being a sponsor.
Thank you, everybody. Okay, well, that was wonderful on the light ship. And if you are interested in anyone's listening and they're interested in a very special event that's coming up, I'll just mention briefly. That's a special four-hour healing session on the light ship coming up on Saturday, December 20th. So if you'd like to take part in that, just give Ron an email, and it's very easy to set that up. And it's a healing session, and it's also for preparing your body for the ascension process. So it's wonderful to give yourself that gift. So I guess that's all the announcements I have. I'll just say again, thank you so much, Pauline, for coming on with us. It's gone by very quickly, as usual, and it's been wonderful having you with us.
Okay, so I'll just say blessings to all of you and have a wonderful evening. And we'll have the energy of the light being stay on your monitor screen here. Remember, I think we brought in the three M's through it here, so we'll have those Archangel Metatron and Melchizedek and Michael stay with you here through the light being for about a half an hour. So just watch your monitor screen, and it's heart-based healing. And we'll see you all later. Our next show is on Monday. So I'll just say blessings to all of you and have a very wonderful evening.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Think about you.